What's with the muting?
Can you hear me now?
Tell us if you can hear us.
Let me know in a minute, would you?
Yeah.
Anything? Anything? Okay. Well, we were muted,
thank
so that could be something.
Friend. I'll just sing until we get it back.
Now can you hear me? Now can you hear me? We're using the headphone port again.
Muted.
What's with the muting?
Well, yeah, now
can
we're
you hear me now?
Loop.
Tell us if you could hear us.
Let me know in a minute, would you?
Yeah.
What about now? Anything? Anything? Okay. Well, we were muted,
thank
so that could
we're
be
definitely
something.
Looping again.
I'll just sing until we get it back.
Now can you hear me? Can you hear me now? No, you can't hear me now.
When you were looping, it probably wasn't coming in.
Well, yeah, but we don't want to loop, do we?
This is turning into an Abbott and Costello routine for the digital age.
It really is. You know, people are going to listen back to this in like 30 years,
yeah,
and they're going to be
and
like,
they were geniuses.
Yeah, well.
They pioneered the entire Can You Hear Me comedy scene.
You are what you eat.
Yeah.
Geniuses.
Everything's cool.
Wait, you can hear me now? For reals? Are we really live?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, so start from scratch. Okay. Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show, and it's getting embarrassing putting my name on this thing. But today was 19 minutes.
Damn it. You know what?
We're like in the middle of the first two.
You know, you got it's like jogging. You have to try and beat your time.
Okay, Adam. You were supposed to be producer extraordinaire. Look at this now. Audio line import and USB. Are we good for future reference? And I will try not to mute the show next time.
Okay.
Not that that happened.
No.
All producer Adam's fault. Not mine.
Okay. Someone to blame, you know?
I don't know what you speak of. So, we got to run through like 10 minutes of material. 30 minutes of material.
Twitter,
and
it's Justin Bieber. And
okay.
It's 48 hours.
So now we're on Twitter at the Matt Aaron Show. At Matt Aaron Show, because Cesar Marconi, our other producer, thought Matthew Aaron was too long of a Twitter name.
Hmm.
So at the Matt Aaron Show.
Okay.
No, not the Matt Aaron Show. At Matt Aaron Show. I apologize. So we're on the Twitter now, and we went from zero followers on Friday to 700 followers who can't hear us tonight. The reason we went to 700 followers, see, I got to tell this real quick now, this just blows. Like, there's no setup, it's just all punchline now. The reason we have 700 followers is 350 of them are Justin Bieber fans, and the reason there's 350 Justin Bieber fans is because I was talking to a lot of Justin Bieber fans on the Twitter as I was getting to know it, because, you know, I had to get to know the Twitter. I didn't really know anything about the Twitter, so I had to get to know the Twitter. So what I did was I talked to everyone that was on the Twitter, and it appears there's a lot of Justin Bieber fans on the Twitter. So what I did was I talked to every single person, and a lot of them were Justin Bieber fans. And they started following the show. So we have 350 Justin Bieber fans, and we have 350 other fans. We have a lot of Howard Stern fans, too, which I noticed, which is great because I'm a big fan. You know I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I am, too.
So
that what he just said right there, that was like 10 minutes.
Should I do the second story now real quickly?
Yes, you're on a roll.
Okay, so since the Justin Bieber fan thing was going on, I decided to post a tweet. I posted a tweet about me and Justin Bieber starring in a remake, because we're really popular nowadays, a remake of Cop and a Half starring Burt Reynolds and Norman Golden II. Who will tweet me? Norman Golden II. Norman Golden II goes, oh, that's the funniest thing I ever read, or something along those sorts. Blah, 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 blah. He wants to come on the show. So the little black kid from Cop and a Half will be on the show in the future just because I'm all about nostalgia and I'm all about his future rap career. I'm sure he's great. So... But I just thought it would be really funny if I played the little black kid and Justin Bieber played Burt Reynolds.
Right.
I thought that would be a great remake.
That would. You're the cop. He's the cop.
Right.
That would be.
So, Lee, I'm now going to go to you. Website marketing ideas, because Cesar Marconi keeps asking me, what are we going to do about website marketing? What am I going to do about website marketing? Because that's what he's in charge of, you know, producer Cesar. He's in charge of all that stuff. So I need to know from you what ideas you have for website and marketing.
Well, what did you – How do you get people to listen to something? You can get them to look at it or buy it, but how do you get listeners? I mean, I don't know about these things. I watch a lot of Mad Men, but my idea would just be like drop leaflets from a biplane, like a World War I biplane on blanket the city.
Well, I had an idea.
Uh-huh.
I suggest we rent out a truck, a big truck,
uh-huh.
like a moving vanish,
yeah.
and we put a big banner on both sides, the Matthew Aaron Show. We put on the link, we put on the iTunes, and we put on the Twitter account. And we drive around the city with a loud horn, a mega horn, or whatever you call it, megaphone.
How much would it be, you think, to hire one of those vans with the signs on the side? That's all
know.
They do is just drive around.
I don't know, but I think you and I could do a good job driving around the city on a Saturday all day, and we'd get some followers.
It
and
would
we'd
be a story.
And, yeah, we park outside ABC News or WGN, and we honk the horn, and we scream on the megaphone, and
right.
maybe we get arrested, maybe we don't, but it makes for news.
You know what? I would get arrested for this podcast. Not week one, but in week three, I would say I could get arrested.
Yeah, week one was iffy, week two was iffy, week three is, you know, we're doing
a little
better. I
liked it. I couldn't get arrested yet for advertising.
Let's do this. Let's guarantee that you and I will get arrested, and maybe producer Adam's in on getting arrested, and
okay.
some other people. Katie Rose.
Katie Rose,
I feel like she wouldn't do too well in jail.
No.
She's too nice for jail.
Yeah.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I mean, she's
kind of
like the sassy black woman in jail, too.
Kind
but
of.
The sassy black woman with a heart of gold.
Yeah, with a heart of gold. Well, they all have hearts of gold. That's what the sass is about.
Well, here's what I think. I think next week, if we could start the show on time, without a hitch, then we go out and market and possibly get arrested.
Okay.
Maybe we get Lenny to go, too.
Let's do it.
That'll look good on his mayoral campaign in 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lenny will need to bail us out, though. We got to have someone lined up for bail. I can't, you know.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and by the way, Lee, introduce yourself for new viewers, new listeners.
I'm Lee Capreas. Hello.
And Katie Rose Cronin, who is usually with us, is not going to be this evening because she is deathly ill. Not deathly like on her deathbed ill, but like deathly like she'll give me a virus and give Lee a virus and give Adam a virus. And we're not down with that.
I'm not germophobic.
I love her, though. She's the greatest ever, isn't she?
Yeah, I think she's great.
We're going to miss her this week. But Lee and I got plenty of talking we can do. We're blowhards.
Yeah.
I do have to ask producer Adam something. So the PlayStation 3 drama going on.
Yes. I feel like this is being underreported. You were talking to Adam.
Yeah, no, but Lee, why don't you tell us, since you Katie Rose isn't here, do the reporting. Not that Katie Rose has ever looked up a news item in her life, but why don't you give us the news item?
So
what's going on?
Their whole network crashed, and someone must have hacked it, and there's been no news story about it, so you can't go online and play Black Ops with your friends and all that stuff. So
no.
It's a huge mess, and they said it could take up to 6 months to get it back running, and I've been checking every day, you know.
Now I gotta ask producer Adam, because he has a PS3 and his information probably got hacked. Is this what you get for being a loser? Yeah. You can go ahead. You can respond on Lee's mic or Katie Rose's mic,
or he's just
nodding, which means he doesn't want to admit he's a loser. But we can like say he is, and he'll claim we were lying. And you know, I know how.
Well, he's
game works.
A lot of losers. I mean, it's like they're losers. I'm not a loser.
Well, let me tell you something. This is why I'm not that fucking nerdy, where I need to play video games all the time and be on the internets all the time.
Well, it's not just that. People buy things on their credit card information.
That's not safe.
All. That's the problem.
I worry about having – I don't have any credit card information on my Xbox. I'm on Live. But I don't have any credit information on it, but I'm afraid that they can even hack the website. I'm a little weary even about that right now.
Yeah. There's no.
I'm a little weird. Netflix can get hacked now, and they got my credit card info.
Right.
And here's the problem. If you get hacked, I don't care how this lawsuit is going to not take over because these nerds got nothing better to do than bitch and whine
your PS3, things to do when you're like, go outside.
Right, and this isn't one of those lawsuits that's going to last 20 years because these nerds will revolt. They will fucking revolt.
Hey, John, put them in the
mind. I don't want to really much because I don't know if it hurts him a lawsuit, but
right.
Adam's actually joining the class action suit.
Okay, you should, against Sony.
I hope you get $30 out of it because that's what's going to happen.
Yes. No, they'll give everyone a credit.
Well, you know what sucks, though, is, and this is what sucks to me, is – care what lawsuit you filed. Mm-hmm. Damage has been done. Mm-hmm. Accounts have been stolen.
Yeah.
Identities are going to be stolen.
Right.
Damage is done. And it is so difficult to recover a stolen identity. You're screwed.
Right.
You're screwed. So let's hope that doesn't happen to producer Adam or any of our other best three nerds out there.
Yeah.
And I use nerds lovingly. I love you all.
Right. But I haven't seen a lot of news about this, so that's the weird thing. That it's not supposed to be out, I guess.
You know, the only place I've seen the news is Facebook from the film nerds.
Right.
I wish I saw Dan Heather do a quick little report on PlayStation 3 users.
Wouldn't you like to see Brian Williams or whatever his name is?
Yeah.
Just like his awful, like, dead hand looking talking about
yes.
PlayStations are down across the country. Couches are finally being having the wings lifted off.
But I thought it would be great. Dan Heather is like, I'm screwed too. My PlayStation and my got stolen. You know, I was watching a movie though. You know who would have played the best Dan Heather? William Holden.
Oh yeah, he would have been great.
He looks. I mean, looks, you know what? Maybe he makes better like Wallace.
Yes. Yes. Well, I thought Christopher Plummer did pretty good in The Insider.
I agree, but I think William Holden at that age looked a little more like Mike Wallace.
From when you watched Network, you had that.
Yeah,
thought?
I watched Network today, and I'm like, man, it's scary how much it looks like Mike Wallace.
Yeah.
But William Holden was great.
I
think he got better with age.
He did, yeah.
Like, once they got away from the cut-and-dry scripts that you were doing
right.
when he
Picnic.
Was a big star.
Right.
Once
he was edgy,
doing,
though.
It's great to hear they fuck.
It was an edgier choice
yeah.
for movies than a lot of actors at that time. That's that you couldn't have just put anybody in Sunset
well,
Boulevard.
Well, don't forget, he did
or,
the Towering Inferno.
Right.
And he fought with the producers because he wanted to be the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And, they put his and Paul Newman's name opposite sides of the screen then,
because yeah.
Paul Newman said, William Holden, he's like 150. No.
well, yeah, he's great, and I think he play a lot of different media people. I don't know. Getting back to the nerd, though, I don't want to be like, I said, what if this is the thing that finally caused the revolution in America that many people are waiting for? It's like, this is the straw, like the nerd being angry about their PS3. This is what, and then like a bunch of nerds are suddenly, you know what?
Oh, you think the nerds are going to flip out?
They're going to flip out. And what if they're suddenly like, you know what? I don't want Social Security to be taken away and all these other things. Like, what if this is the start step?
Doubt it.
Okay.
Nerds aren't into politics. They're into nerd
yeah.
shit.
Well, some of them.
Yeah, but
that's not
a
enough,
kind
yeah.
of nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of dorks.
Okay.
Dorks are in politics. Like, yeah, I'm probably a dork.
Now that you're mentioning it, yeah, I remember.
I don't like talking politics
oh, yeah.
on the show.
No.
We have guests.
Right.
You know who I want to get? You know who I want to get real bad is Ron Paul. Real bad.
Oh, boy.
Real bad. I'm trying to get a hold of him. His office had ruled that unless from the 14th District in Texas, they don't let you talk to Ron.
Okay.
You have to be from the 14th District, which makes me wonder how that bitch Joy Behar gets a hold of him.
She knows some people.
Love Joy. I'm just kidding. Not
yeah.
a bitch. I love her.
It was too funny.
Well, you know what? I don't like two of the broads on that show.
Mm.
The Sheriff.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yeah. Well.
I don't like either of them. Well, Sherry Shepherd doesn't think the world's round.
Yeah.
Because she's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth Hasselbeck is George Bush in a wig. And Billy makeup.
Yeah. Good makeup.
Yeah.
Well, you can. I just think that... I'm drawing a blank.
You're drawing a blank.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
I was waiting for you to spit
this
out.
This is what Katie Rose would say. Something. See, we're a car with three wheels.
Yeah, well, we're used to being a car with three wheels, and now we're a car with two wheels
and
going blank. And
yeah.
Well, you know what I think is interesting? And we're waiting for our guest to call in tonight, and our guest is going to be Chris Williams. I talked to him last night, so I hope he had some engagement or something, so he's going to call in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what time. We usually have our guest on about now.
Oh, okay.
And
oh, so, isn't it great when it's going to be a surprise you don't know?
I'm kind of peeing my pants a
yeah,
little.
Yeah.
But let's put it this way. Chris doesn't come on. He owes me a big one.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to be in a movie with David Duchovny then. that's how that works. Look, I don't make the rules.
No.
That's how they were written. So I guess we can move on to talking about some other things. Oh, give me your thoughts on the bullshit wedding tomorrow.
Oh, in England.
Yeah, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Does anyone care?
What? But like, a lot of people who like England don't give a shit about the monarchy.
Right.
It's not
a lot of
like,
people moved out of England. They sublet their apartments to Americans.
It's not just
to be there for the wedding.
It's not just xenophobic, you know, people who don't give a shit about anything that isn't American. It's
right.
People who like people who are into British shit don't give a shit.
Right.
Right.
No, I agree. As I was just saying, British people sublet their apartments to Americans. So the Americans they're paying ridiculous prices on the apartments.
Yeah.
So they can watch. They can be there for the wedding. They're not even gonna get to watch. They weren't invited.
Wow.
To be there for the there's a huge story about it I was reading, and the people that the two dudes that wrote 500 Days of Summer
mm-hmm.
just sold a script about the royal wedding.
Oh.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know.
That look. I don't like calling anyone out.
It's called 300 Fortnights of Love.
Yeah. I hate calling people out, especially people I don't dislike, but that better not be about the royal wedding. It better be some satire or something funny, because I got news for you. If those two went from doing 500 Days of Summer, which was a good little indie film.
Yeah, it was all right.
To doing a TV show for NBC that NBC hated so much, and we're talking about the last place rated network, NBC.
Right.
We're talking about the network that put Perfect Couples on the air.
Ah.
Okay? Outsourced on the air.
Yeah.
NBC hated Friends with Benefits, their pilot, so much they trashed it.
Yeah.
They may run it over the summer, but they'll dump it. So if they now go to writing a royal wedding movie that's about the royal wedding.
Like a straight-laced thing with two actors playing the... Yeah.
That, you got to consider that selling out, right?
Yeah,
they got paid seven figures for it.
Oh, well.
And I find it very hard to believe that a company is going to pay seven figures for a movie that's a satire about the royal wedding. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, plus, for it to be a satire, that's not going to happen so quickly after the actual wedding. And that's not a movie anyway. A wedding is not a movie. I don't...
Well, I mean, I hate to bring up these movies. What's the Helen Mirren movie where she played Queen Elizabeth?
The Queen.
The Queen. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was a very good movie.
And, you know, that was basically about one point in time.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're trying to do that?
I don't know. I
see Michael Sheen in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
I see Michael Sheen.
In another one of his eccentric performances.
I feel like we're not plugging Justin Bieber enough in case more of his fans are listening.
No,
Justin Bieber, Never Say Never's in theaters now.
Justin Bieber doesn't know this, but he owns this show.
He secretly does, because here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
Here's the deal. As soon as I do something with Bieber, whether it be a commercial, a movie, a TV show,
uh-huh.
I'm never going to have to work again.
Oh,
like it's like one shot, and then I'm so fucking famous. And so popular, people are like bowing down to me.
Yeah.
They're like, I want the Matthew Aaron haircut. They're, you know, like it is the straight shot to fame. So me and Bieber, we're going to work together. I don't know how it's going to happen yet. But yeah, there's a part of him that we owe this show to.
There was a recent, I just happened to be in a bar and that the George Lopez talk show came on. And, you know, he's okay. And he's doing like a Justin Bieber joke. And you could tell he just is – his heart is not in it. Like, I got to make a joke about this, like, pop star.
So you don't think George wrote it?
Well, he's got writers for the show, but –
they all got writers.
I know, but
I would assume George writes a few jokes.
He writes – probably. But it's just like, how would you have to just like, oh, God, I got to make a joke about this because it's in the news or it's in the pop culture or whatever. And you have to plug it in. I wish
– no, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like Leno yesterday – or 2 days ago, 2 nights ago. I don't know if it was last night. No, it was last night. He had on Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm.
And the interview was just so scripted.
Really?
Like, I don't like Jay that much as it is, but
right.
But it was so bad. Like, you could just tell Jay knows he's a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you could tell at that moment there was nothing else he was thinking about other than what a sellout he is. Like, he could see his dignity in the past. and there it was leaving him again.
And that was all conveyed on the look on his large face.
Yeah, no, no, well, not even the look. Okay, let me give you a for instance. Uh-huh. He goes, Lindsay, who do you play in this new John Gotti movie? And Lindsay plays...
He sounds like Paul Giamatti.
Well, whatever. Lindsay plays John Gotti Jr.'s wife.
Uh-huh.
So she explains it. I don't do a good Lindsay at all, so...
Just sound like you've been drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes for 90 years.
And then Jay says back to her, so I hear you met John Gotti. Or did you meet John Gotti? I don't know. Like he accidentally went off script, gave the answer, and then was like, oh, wait, I forgot the script.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know. Did you meet John Gotti? And she's like, yeah, when I was 3, I met John Gotti, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, well, three. How do you know you met him when you were 3? Your father bring you to him, blah, 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 blah. And it was just so scripted, they planned. Like producers do it, obviously.
Wait,
you tell the producers.
She
what
said
you're
she met him when
about.
He was when she was 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And not for the movie.
No, no.
Because if Lindsay
supposedly
Lohan
supposedly her parents introduced her to John Gotti when she was 3 years old. Her story, not
they
mine.
They should make a movie about that, about how her parents know John Gotti and she met him when she was 3.
They should
that
make
should
a
be the
short.
Movie.
They
that
should make a
movie.
Short. I don't know, about 2 hours of that.
Well, 90 minutes, you know.
So you know what? Michael Lohan for 2 hours, I may be able to handle it.
Right.
So I kind of actually almost felt bad for Jay. You want another bad Jay Leno? Man, I've been watching too much Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Well, Paul Reiser was booked for the show on Monday. Mm-hmm. And Paul Reiser's show was canceled last Friday. So I'm like, ooh, is he going to show up? Is he going to cancel his appearance? And it's NBC. And NBC canceled the show after 2 episodes. Because, once again, we're talking about the last place rated network. We're talking about 30 Rock gets 2.5 million views a week.
Right.
Like, and that's where highly touted shows.
Uh-huh.
They get 10 million less viewers than NBC. Okay. There and then everyone thinking, oh well, in 1849 they must be killing. No, The Rock gets ratings. Community gets terrible ratings, but they got nothing else to put. So they're canceling Paul Reiser's show. You know they really don't like your show when they got nothing else to put on and still cancel you.
Sure.
So anyway. Paul Reiser ends up showing on Leno, which was really interesting. And basically just whined the whole time about how he was not – how show got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
It was really bad to listen to, actually.
Oh. You'd think he would make it funny, like, hey, I got my show canceled.
He tried to, but it was in that, like, I'm a know-it-all whining kind of way.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you a for instance. This is pretty much verbatim. He goes – well, Jay, my show was number one rated when we did the focus groups. Everyone loved it. They said it was the best show they've ever seen.
Oh, the focus groups.
Yeah, no, he kept bringing up the focus groups and how great his focus groups were.
You don't
get
to spend that nickel, Paul.
Yeah. But here's the problem with TV nowadays. And I'm going to get on a soapbox a little here and see maybe if you agree with me.
All right.
Here's the problem with TV. Old people should not star on TV shows. We live in a generation where stars are found on American Idol. Now you got The Voice.
Right.
You got Survivor, all these reality shows. And the 18 to 49 market now is obsessed with creating stars.
Yeah.
Creating them or finding old childhood stars they liked. And, okay, I'll give you a for instance. NCIS is the number one rated scripted show. Yes, they have Mark Harmon, who was rediscovered. However, that show does not last without Michael Weatherly. Hold on. We have our call. Hello. You're on the Matt Barron Show.
Hey, it's Chris Williams.
Chris!
Hey!
How loud
is that? Can you even hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Yeah, am I on the air right now?
You're absolutely on the air.
Fantastic.
I love that. I love that. I'm literally standing on the corner of Hollywood and Vine.
Oh,
so you're in California. Oh, dude, I wish I was out there now so bad.
Yeah.
It's like 70 degrees.
Oh, stop.
It's a beautiful night. I got some echo on my feedback on my phone, but it's all good.
Chris, it's been raining for like 2 weeks straight in Chicago.
But like softly, slowly, like Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yeah, real awful rain.
Why are you trying to make it all sexual? Softly, slowly. It just drips down upon my face.
Yeah. It caresses the gentle curve of a nice lady.
Exactly. That could be a good time there if it's raining.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, I don't mean to make this sound sexual, but I've been thinking about you all day.
Nice. I like that.
For this interview. And, you know, I have always been a really, really big fan of yours. I'm not bullshitting you at all.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, you can bullshit me. I don't mind.
No, can I tell you the first time I saw you and I was like, that guy's great? And you're going to think this is so weird. Remember the episode? Well, of course, the episode of Monk you did?
Just listening right there. I'm on a phone call for Chicago. Is that okay? Literally, I'm going to stand right. I'm on an interview right now. Sorry about that. Now I'm inside. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
They hear that in L.A. all the time.
Yeah.
I'm on an interview right now.
Yeah,
calm
right.
down. So the first time...
The nice lady let me inside this. Now I'm like a beautiful inside cat, so I can actually have a conversation.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Go ahead. Please.
You walk into a church? What would happen?
So,
doesn't it sound like an echo in here, right?
It sounds like you're in the synagogue.
Yeah, or at least
it's like I have the voice of God.
So, Chris, the first time I saw you, and I'm like, that guy's great, and I didn't know who you were at the time, was the episode of Monk you did.
Oh, thanks, yeah, when I was an asshole the Monk.
Yeah, Agent Thorpe, I think, was your character's name. I don't know how I remember that. Is that right, even?
The what?
Was your character's name Agent Thorpe? It's really weird that I'm thinking
yes,
remember.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, wow, that's pretty good.
All right, I watched a lot of Monk. It was like one of my favorite shows. I just wanted to get started with, all right, so how did you get your start in the business? What were some of your inspirations, films, actors, TV? Like, what's the deal? How'd you get involved?
Well, I went to Georgetown University. I got my degree in psychology. And to try to figure out why I would even want to be an actor. And then, and do you know who my sister is, right?
Yeah.
Venus Williams. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing.
Serena Williams.
No, love Vanessa. I've seen Eraser like 500 times, so yeah.
So Vanessa's so when I moved out here, right, 2 weeks after I graduated from Georgetown, I came out here and I was going to actually go into law school.
Oh.
Go to Georgetown Law, and then I decided, well, maybe I just spend some time out here first because it was nice in Cali. I always wanted to come to Los Angeles. My sister was living here at the time.
Yeah.
And I ended up, I was in the record industry, actually, doing like A&R and stuff.
Wow.
And so that was fun. And I was selling cars, and I was just, you know, hanging out in California, so to speak.
So you were doing the grind. You were doing the grind.
I was on the grind. I was working with like Brian McKnight.
Oh,
wow. Tony. And so it was fun times. You know,
we're getting some great.
And then I was on a game show. I was on literally.
Game show.
Classic Concentration. And I won $33,000.
Wow.
I won a Jeep. I won some trips. So that was good stuff. So
that's another reason not to like you, Chris, is you're extremely good looking. You have You got bright blue eyes, and you went to Georgetown. You're incredibly smart, and you won $33,000 on a fucking game show.
Right.
I didn't want to star. All my friends are being like hold on 1 second. Hold on, I'm having a little problem here.
Go ahead.
I like this thing of trying to talk to you while you're navigating terrain.
Exactly. It's like, it's an amazing race. Can you do an interview while you're standing on one leg on the corner of Hollywood and Vine?
And now he's going to the hurdles.
You and Vanessa should do Celebrity Amazing Race.
Wouldn't that be cool? They should have a Celebrity Amazing Race. And
should
see how many people could, get recognized in, different countries.
They should have.
Like you're in Bangladesh or some shit.
Well, your sister...
Oh, my God, Coolio! Coolio!
Coolio. Oh, I got a story about Coolio.
Coolio and his brother. Yeah. So I was selling cars in the record industry, and I didn't want to be poor. Because as an actor, you kind of have to go through a whole poor stage.
Yeah, I'm going through that.
All my friends are lawyers and doctors
That's both of us.
Yeah.
So let's go off that poor thing. I just got okay, I just got rejected by one of the biggest comedy managers ever today. She's the nicest woman ever. I don't wanna mention her name. I'll email it to you later. But I love her. I love her. We're very cordial with each other, very friendly. I mean, we're not tight, but you know, her company is merging with the sports company, she claims, and she can't take me on, which is fine. But for people like myself and Lee who are on the grind and we write and we act, how do you deal with rejection? Did you ever have to deal with any of it when you were up and coming as an actor?
I deal with rejection all the time. Literally, I just tested for 4 pilots.
Oh, my gosh.
4 different pilots, and I was too black for one, too white for one, too old for one, and too young for one. I kid you not.
Wow.
Wow, that is really screwed up. Because, well, you know what? This is totally off topic and weird. But I wrote a pilot based off my stand-up comedy, and I wrote a role for you, and now I'm expecting CBS to be like, you know, we want a black guy, but not that black.
Oh.
Exactly. Could you get him with some brown eyes?
Charlie Murphy?
Because we're not exactly sure. Yeah.
We want Charlie Murphy. Oh.
Exactly. Well,
dude, I know how that is. But you had a big break in Dodgeball. What experiences do you have from that movie?
Well, the reason why I got Dodgeball was because of Curb, because of my crazy ass killer.
Yeah. Which, by the way, was great.
Love that episode. A lot of people, that's their favorite one in the season. A lot of people love that.
The way I got that was actually because I did a sketch comedy show called Hype, which
right.
was on the WB Network back in the day.
Oh, I remember.
And I got to do all these characters, and I did a Master P. And Jeff Garland, his wife is Marla Garland, who cast Hype and was like, you know, Chris Williams can do a rapper, so have him come in to the audition. So I was up against Mike Epps, Ghostface Killah, Sticky Fingers, Sticky Fingers, like a whole bunch of Obastity, like real rappers.
Yeah,
wow.
But, you know, the thing about it was you had to know the sensibility of what Curb is about. If you're a Curb fan, you know it's all about making Larry as nervous as possible. Yeah,
right.
Making him so, you know, uncomfortable, basically.
Right. And
so my whole goal was, I like you, I like you, but don't get too close to me.
Right,
I'm going to kill you, but I love you, too, at the same time. So the more you can keep him off kilter, the funnier it's going to be.
Well, it was great.
So I kind of knew the sensibilities of it, and I went in with 2 brown contacts because I figured if you have blue eyes, how hard can you be with blue eyes unless you're iced tea? But he has brown eyes, too.
Yeah.
But, like, how hard you can be. So I went in with brown contacts, and I called myself Wolfman, right?
Wolfman.
And I had, like, I had fangs.
Did you have a little...
I had a tattoo that said Wolf on
it. Did you have a
W-O-L-F-F?
Did you?
I didn't have a rap at the time, but I just came in, and I was improv with Larry.
Who wrote the rap? You did.
You did.
Oh my God!
I'll get to that. I'll get to that. Hold on one second. So I went into the audition, and Larry and no one knew Robert Whitey, the director, who won an Emmy for that. The only episode of Curb that has won an Emmy.
Wow. Huh.
They all didn't know that I was like an actor. So I went in. I had to go in character because if I went in as me, there's no way you're gonna buy it. So I went in like, you know, all, you know, fake tats and my thing, and I came in, I was like, yeah, what's up? And I was like, Larry, David Larry, you got 2 first names, that's some nice shit, motherfucker, I like that shit. Like, who came up with that? He's like, oh, my dad. I'm like, I like that, Larry, David Larry, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I come in with all this stuff, and I have these brown contacts on, and that's when I was like, the audition is basically improvising with Larry. You just come up with, you know, as much stuff as... With Curb, you can't be too jokey with the improv, because it's all improv. Because
right.
if it's too jokey, then it doesn't sound true.
Doesn't feel natural.
But it's got to be funny. Right.
Right.
So you got to figure out what's funny about it, and what's funny about it is, like, I wanted to be a liar, like, I like you, you my motherfucker, but you know what? Don't get too close to me. But I like you, but don't get close to me. and then I booked the gig, and they were like, is he a good rapper? I mean, because they were seeing all these real rappers. Like, is he good? He's like, no, he's an actor. So when I got on set, I kind of didn't want to talk to Larry because I didn't want to be like ruin the mystique, so to speak. And the other crazy thing about it is I don't wear, I have blue eyes, so I don't like wearing contacts. I don't wear contacts.
Right.
So I'm like, but I got to at least wear one. Like, well, what's the name of your character? I'm like, well, let me at least wear one contact, and I'll call myself, like, Crazy Eyes, and I'm going to put a kill on the end. So they let me name my own character. They let me, and then basically how Curb works is they say, okay, it's a dream for an actor who's an improv actor, because they say, okay, go here, talk to Larry, and then walk off here. And that's the only direction you get. So whatever you say, whatever comes out of your mouth is what it's going to be. So I was pulling shit out of my ass as much as possible, as outrageous as it could be. And I did, like, research watching MTV Raps and watching BET and watching all these rappers.
Any Cribs?
And exactly, Cribs. And the greatest part about Cribs was there's one, Silk the Shocker. Silk the Cash Money Millionaire. He has, like, a six-foot painting of him in a sweatsuit. Like an oil painting of him in a sweatsuit. So in one of the scenes with Larry, I'm like, I'm gonna get a picture right there. I'm gonna paint him, of myself in a pose, right? And I'm gonna put bad motherfucker on the bottom. You know, so every day I wake up, I'll be like, it's a bad motherfucker right there.
Chris, the best line you had in that scene was when you're like, what was the line about their floors made of floors?
Yeah.
It's made of floor shit.
Exactly.
Floor shit.
Oh, you killed it.
Because whenever they went on those tours, everything would be so mundane.
Right.
You know what I mean? And everyone would be so like, yeah, this is some, that's a table right there. You eat at the table. Right? And up there is a lamp, and the light goes on in the lamp. You know, and it's set up early in the episode where he hates tours, as mundane as I can make it. That's, you know,
right.
And they cut out, which was cool. They cut. I'll actually send you some of the deleted scenes. They cut out a whole scene where I had I was like, it's an echo. I said, go ahead, yell, Larry. He's like, oh. I said, yeah, that's an echo. That's my cousin Ray Ray and TG and a couple bitches. He's like, oh, I always got to have a couple bitches around, you know, because you never know what never going to know when you need a bitch. But you take the door and go, bitch here, bitch in, and go, oh, bitch. He's like, I like your theory about spreading the bitches out. I like that.
Oh, I love it. You know what? I was going to ask you, too, because you got to work with Wanda, too. How great was she?
She was amazing. But, you know, all my scenes really were with Larry. I mean, it was the first scene. When I get to at the engagement party, that's the only interaction that I have with my fiancé, believe it or not.
Right.
But the rest of it was just with Larry. But she's fucking hysterical.
Oh, she's got
so fortunate to be a part of that. Yeah, she's just unbelievable. And for the last episode of that season, the dinner, remember the dinner where everyone was swearing?
Yes.
I was supposed to be in that with Wanda, but Wanda was not available. So they couldn't justify bringing me back on my own.
But that would have been funny if it was you there and not her. That would have been so ridiculous.
What do you think, Chris? Do you still talk to Larry? Is there a future Curb appearance, maybe?
I've actually, believe it or not, I went to the rap party of last year. And whenever I see Larry, I saw him at the Emmys one year. And he said to his daughter, he's like, oh, this guy, he's one of the greatest rap stars you've ever had. He's always been so really warm and welcoming to me. And at the end of when I shot Curb, you remember the last scene where I'm asking for the jacket back and stuff?
Yeah, classic. Yeah. You throw that jacket.
And I'm swearing at him. The white will throw the jacket at me, motherfucker. You know. At the end of it, he was like, he gave me a hug. And I was like, oh, my God, Larry gave you a hug. Oh, my God, he never does that. He's fucking crazy. So, but he's been so nice and so cool about things. And I actually was talking to J.B. Smooth.
Yeah, oh, I love J.B. Smooth. He's one of my...
And we were thinking about trying to do maybe a little J.B. Smooth, a little Leon Crazy Eyes Killer collaboration.
Oh, my God. How great would that be, Leon and Crazy Eyes? That should be a spinoff. I'd watch that show. Lee,
I would watch that, because I love Leon. I love...
No, but how great... Even J.B. Smooth, he saved Till Death. Till Death was way funnier when he joined the show. Like, I just saw him in that new movie. What was the movie JB was just in? Hall Pass. Hilarious.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and Chris,
such a nice guy.
Well, I just saw you in a new movie. Well, not so new, but Lottery Ticket I just watched.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm meaning to see because I've had interaction with Brad Kaplan, and you know, I was really into it. I really enjoyed it. What a cast in that movie.
It was crazy. It was so much fun to do.
The best cast.
It's like when you get to improv or at least put your spices into it, that's the best part about it.
Well,
you get to add your own little thing.
How is it working for Ice Cube?
So I did Friday After Next too. Do you remember me in Friday After Next?
Broadway Bill. Or is it Broadway Bill?
There you go. I do remember.
Yeah.
I know my pop movie.
He's amazing. He's such a smart businessman as well as a talented artist. I mean, he's really a really nice guy.
With Air Jet episodes, they're making mad money off that.
Big time. So actually, from Curb, because they liked it so much, they had me do a reading for Dodgeball.
Oh wow!
So they had a table reading. I was at the table read, and it was Vince and Ben were there, and I think the roles were switched actually, because I saw Ben in the Vince role and Vince in the Ben role, which was interesting. And then we all did the table read, and then they said, oh, that was great, but they made me audition for the role. So I kept auditioning for the role. And I'm like, do I have the role? Because you keep auditioning with people. Like Rainn Wilson was, you know Joel, the guy who's in Avatar?
Yes.
He plays the kind of dumb young kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Rainn Wilson, I read with Rainn Wilson.
Oh wow!
From The Office as that character, a whole bunch of different characters, and then they didn't tell me I got the job until the last second, which was cool. But Dodgeball is such a fun thing to do. We did like 3 months getting paid to play Dodgeball.
Right.
It's like heaven. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No. Really? No, that looked like a fun time. I mean, that was a fun movie. It had to be a fun time. Rip Torn was great in that movie.
Boot Camp. Now, here's a funny story. And when I was in Vegas, we shot in Vegas, too, because we had a big tournament there.
Right.
And we had to shoot the next day, and we're at a strip club, and Justin and Vince, we're all hanging out. And we got to shoot in the morning, and I'm like, okay, guys, I'm in the bathroom. I'm like, I'm going to go. And Vince talks to me, goes, what are you doing? I was like, I don't have any more money. I'm just gonna go because I'm gonna go home. I gotta get up in the morning. He's like, no, and he whips out like $400 and he goes, you go out there, you make me proud. You're not going. You go make me proud.
Oh.
I'm like, hey, I don't want to hear it. Just go out and sell. It was such a great fucking time.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Vince Vaughn. I kind of get a feeling in a lot of his movies that there's a lot of him in that.
There is,
I kind of feel
very
like
true.
That's something a character in one of his movies would do, is hand you $400 and say, go make me proud.
Exactly.
And he'd mean it, and
exactly.
He'd be disappointed
Papa
if you
needs
didn't.
A brand new pair of suits.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, that's great.
Oh.
Well, and now, do you think Curb is what led to you on Californication, where you play Todd? And my favorite scene of Chris on Californication, by the way, before I forget, my favorite scene is I don't know if it was the first or second episode he did, but he confronts Duchovny at a book signing, and he punches David in the nuts, and it's...
Exactly. That was the first appearance of Todd Carr. That was the first
so
appearance.
Good.
The interesting part about that is I did a show called The Wedding Bells, which was on Fox.
That.
It was a David E. Kelly series.
Oh.
We only lasted 6 episodes. We were... supposed to do 13. We bought for 13, and I was in Brazil at the time, and I was going to test for Californication when I got back from Brazil, and I was going to test for the Evan Handler role to play his best friend.
Yeah,
which would have been a totally different series if I was, you know,
good. Evan's
you know.
Good.
Right.
He does very well. He was on Sex and the City too.
Right. Exactly. So when I went to Brazil, they were like, I was going to test for Californication, but the David E. Kelly show was like, you know, we want you to test for Wedding Bells. And I was like, I'm in Brazil. I'm not coming back for anything. Like, you know, please, can you do it? I'm like, well, I have another gig lined up. And they just offered me Wedding Bells.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I came back, I land in New York, and they're like, you start work on Sunday. And I ended up doing that series, for a couple months.
That's the choice.
And then Californication liked me so much, he wrote that part for me. He said that'd be a great part for me. So they offered it to me, which was fantastic.
So would you consider you and Duchovny kind of like friends now that you've done a movie together, you've done all this TV together now?
Yeah, we did Jones's together. I saw him at the airport the other day. And he's just good people, man. He's just really smart. He went to Princeton. Really nice guy.
Dryly. Really fun.
Yeah. Really. And, you know, the Joneses was actually more of a comedy. I saw the first cut of Toronto Film Festival, and it was much funnier than the final cut that came out. I think they wanted to make it more serious, which kind of didn't work for it. But the first time I saw it, it was hysterical.
I don't know
if they weren't expecting that.
Yeah, I dug it quite a bit. I was really into it.
It was good. You say that the first cut, what kinds of things were funnier about it in the first cut?
It had a lot more of Demi and David. David's character was much more like funny, wry, like trying to get to her, you know, in terms of being daring to her. And you could see more of a chemistry between them in the first cut. And things were unexpectedly funny, which was wild. So, I don't know why they changed it to how they changed it, but. It was still good. I liked it. Just the concept alone was great. Derek Bork came up with a great plan.
It was original. It was original. And you, speaking of chemistry, though, you and Demi had great chemistry.
Yeah, this is a funny thing. She says to me, okay, this is in the scene. You pretend like we're like lovers in the scene. So just, you know, pretend like we're lovers. Can you do that with me? And I was like,
I can do that.
Yeah, I don't think it's too hard to pretend you're lovers with Demi Moore.
No,
exactly.
She does not look like she just aged one day in the last.
She looks great, man. She's cool people too, which is nice.
No, I talked to Jimmy Palumbo a few weeks ago, who's another actor, and Jimmy did a movie with Demi, and he's like, dude, she's smoking hot. I don't know if I should tell that story.
All right.
She's great. No, I love the Joneses, though. Chris, it seems like you're starting, like, your name's popping up in the beginning credits, man.
Right.
You're doing some great character work. It seems like you got stuff going on now, man. You're on a roll.
I do, but, you know, the interesting about it is that I don't think Hollywood kind of knows what to do with me because I do so many different things, so I'm not categorizing anything, which is going to bode well for me in the future.
Right.
But it's hard to, like, pigeonhole me in one, because I can do this, I can do that, I can do this. But it's not like, if we need a black guy to do this, it's not like me. Does that make sense?
You're a great actor, though. I mean, it's the way Hollywood works, but, like, dude, forget even the whole black and white thing. You are hilarious. Like, you can write just funny role, and Chris Williams will kill it. I'm telling you, man.
I really appreciate that. Thanks.
Dude, because the other thing is, though, between Curb and Californication and the Joneses and Lottery Ticket, you play all these different characters, so it's not like you're one note, and that's the key to comedy, is that you're just not a one-note guy. You have all these – you're very three-dimensional. It's very cool, man. You're really good.
Did you see me on Ugly Betty?
Where you played Vanessa's evil
doppelganger. Yeah, exactly.
I never watched that show until someone told me about that episode, and they go, "You got to watch it. It's funny." I watched the episode, and I'm like, you know what? That was pretty funny. I totally was not expecting to like the show, though. Not my cup of tea.
And you saw how I was dressed, right?
Oh yeah.
that was a little scary.
Well, that you could play gay. You got it all going on.
Well, exactly.
Well, this is interesting because now I think what happens is they find an actor who can do one thing really well, and then every movie they're doing that one thing. That's what they do. They just do that for specific things. And this ties back to
what. Safe.
Yeah. Well, but we had absolutely. But we had on Shelley Leibowitz last week, and we were talking about entertainers who are gone, who used to be able to do 1,000 different things,
right,
like Sammy Davis Jr., and now they want the specific
thing. Dude, he's got that vibe. Chris's Facebook, which is not up at the moment, but, like, if you look at his pictures, like, there's Chris in a suit, and you're like, dude, styling. Like, he could wear it all, man. He's got the whole variety going on.
I like this show. I'm going to call in for you guys every week. Yeah.
You might as well
get a little ego stroke going.
Well, we love to. So here's the deal. I got a question in the chat room. Someone asked me for you to talk about your experiences on 24.
Oh, 24 was fun. It was the first. What season was that?
Was it the last one?
It was the second to last one.
Okay.
And it was the opening opening the
first
two episodes,
right? Yeah.
And it's, being on 24 was just really intense. It was like an intense, you know, everything about that show is intense. But like,
they all, on the set, they all take what they do really seriously. Like,
yeah, it's like a totally different. Each set has its own little vibe, and that 24 set was really just like everybody was tense. I mean, I never got to work with Kiefer. But, you know, we had this big plane about to crash or crash into each other. And so that was a lot of fun. 24 was a lot of fun. And I had read for another part, but they offered me that part.
Oh.
But that was intense. It was a nice, good time.
So what else do you got going on? What's coming up?
I'm writing a lot of stuff, writing a pilot for myself. I have a one-man show called Old Blue Eyes is Black. you know, talking about, you know, different characters, and I'm actually developing this one story called Incognito, and he's a prison magician.
Now, are you doing the one-man show currently, or you're writing it right now?
I'm writing it now, but I'm doing, like, developing certain things. Like, I've gone up doing stand-up doing Incognito, where I come on in an orange jumpsuit.
I love that.
No, that's good.
I come on an orange jumpsuit and I intimidate the crowd into my magic. I got a magic move, motherfucker. I said, if you don't like my magic, I'm gonna shank you. So I do like I say I'm gonna make a dove that appears out of thin air, right?
It's done.
And I unbutton my shirt and I have soap on a rope. I said, it's dove soap, motherfucker.
Oh,
so like, you know how Steve Martin had his fly dini?
Right.
Like, and right. There's all these really bad magicians, but are, you know, but it's comedy. So I'm going to be more of a bad, intimidating magician. You know,
that's a great character. Yeah. That's great.
And I actually am a magician too. I do magic as well. Yeah. So I'm going to incorporate some of my magic into
you do
into
it all.
My I try to.
You're like
something will stick.
You're like me too, Chris, with the food. I see you posting food pictures all the time. I'm like, this guy is as obsessed with fine cuisine as I am.
Oh, my God.
He'll put on some fatty-looking food, but I mean, it's still good.
Yeah. For Easter, I made cherry almond and apricot blueberry scones, dude. Oh, my God. That's how I have to work out like a madman. Otherwise, I'll be a blimp.
Dude, so how you're beating off the women with sticks, like multiple sticks, I'm guessing, if you're making cherry almond scones.
Exactly. And I'm a gardener, too, so I have the flowers for the ladies. You know,
garden pick of the day, right?
Oh.
And I'm
exactly.
Dude,
from his garden?
Yeah, it looks like he bought the flowers somewhere. I'm still not too sure he don't.
Uh-huh.
But
no, that's what's all my... But you know what? Facebook, I'm telling you, dude, Facebook... It's like a time sucker. It'll take over the whole world.
Yeah.
So I had to like deactivate just to breathe.
No,
because
Chris,
this shit is crazy.
S. Lee or Adam, I post like 40 times a day.
Yeah.
I'll be in my class at college and I'll be like, no, this sucks. I'm staring at the teacher's tits. And like I'll just
What are you taking? What are you taking?
I'm actually in my last class right now. It's a television business course. I'm taking it with a former executive from CBS.
Oh, fantastic.
Jim McCairns. He's fantastic. He's
a good
great
luck with that.
Guy. Well, you know, we'll see. I graduate and then I'm done. I'm at DePaul University. Not quite Georgetown, but we got some credit.
Yes, indeed. No, DePaul, that's pretty good.
Well, you guys kill us in basketball. You guys kill us in basketball,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We'll never be good at basketball.
No.
No one wants to play in the inner city of Chicago when it's like 20 degrees out every year.
Exactly. Except for Rod Strickland.
Oh.
He's our like last great DePaul player, right?
We had Q Richardson. Q was here a few years ago.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Wilson Chandler, who's now with the Nuggets.
Oh, she was a Knick. I'm a Knicks fan. So.
Well, so you used to have Wilson. That was your guy.
Yes,
dude,
indeed.
Chris, what happened to you guys when you got Carmelo? What the hell?
We just need to gel. That's the problem. We got him too late. But next year, And when either we get Chris Paul or Deron Williams,
it's gonna be
good. It's gonna be good times in New York again.
Didn't Chris Paul say at Carmelo's wedding he's coming to New York? Like
exactly.
He didn't even make it like shy. He wasn't even shy about it.
Exactly. It's gonna be good stuff. So you're a big Bulls. Are you big Bulls fan?
I'm actually a Bulls fan and a Lakers fan. I'm pretty big on the Lakers.
I'm just a fan.
Is your sister to the Lakers?
You know, my brother-in-law used to play for the Lakers, Rick Fox.
Oh, sore subject. I forgot about that.
And I was a fan of the Lakers, but I'm not a fan of the Lakers. I just don't like Kobe. He's the best player. I just don't like him.
He is the best player.
I just don't like. Now I love Derrick Rose though.
Derrick's great. Just like the Lakers just for Kobe though. I love Phil because I'm an old Bulls fan.
Yeah.
Phil Jackson's great. I love Lamar Odom. I'm a big Ron Artest guy. He hasn't been so hot the last 2 years, but you gotta love the guy.
Yeah.
The brother thanks his therapist after winning the World Championship.
I know, right? That's funny.
Do you think the Bulls are going to win?
That is so L.A.
Yeah, it's so L.A.
You know what? They got to go through Miami, dude. I think Miami's on a mission.
Do you think?
I think if they can. I mean, Dwayne Wade and LeBron, those two are just ridiculous. They're just ridiculous.
They had tough times with the.
They had some hiccups this season.
Oh, there's like
right, but they're really gelling now. I still think they can do it.
Hold on one moment where I'm.
Oh, Lenny.
Yeah, you.
Okay, bye bye, Lenny.
Yeah.
Wait, what's Lenny doing? He called in. You know, I only take Lenny's calls. We've had like 6 callers.
Right.
And I'm ignoring all because Chris is telling great stories.
Uh-huh.
Lenny's dumb Italian ass calls in. Well, I'm Italian, whatever. But he calls in.
The most crowded bar he could be at.
Why are you calling from a bar, man?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's probably ordering food again, too.
Yeah.
Shit.
anyway.
Chris, you got some great stories, man. So what's the plan with this pilot you're writing?
And is Ghostface going to be in it?
Is Ghostface Killer?
I'm actually going up for another pilot right now next week. And then I'm just trying to write something that I can get on the air.
Pilots that are going up. We should talk about that privately. I'm interested in hearing which ones you're going on. Because I know about quite a few of them that are in the. I don't know because what Upfront is next month. Now we're getting all business talky.
So you're gonna write
a pilot for yourself. Without giving away anything that would, you know, people could steal. What's the plan with that?
It's one of those things that you can't. If you say it, if you talk about it, then it kind of ruins it a little bit. You know, it's one of those things like a superstitious type thing. But I'll let you know. I'll call him again with you guys when it's a little farther along.
Good man.
I'll definitely keep you updated.
I think you should have your own show. I think it'd be great.
Well, I appreciate that. I think I should have my own show too.
And tell Vanessa, get off Desperate Housewives, even though she's making the big bucks over there.
Yeah.
And come do guest spots on Chris Williams' show.
Right, exactly. They got picked up for another season too on Desperate Housewives.
I know, and she's got to be making mad money over there.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, and she only works like a couple days a week.
I know.
That's fantastic.
There's so many characters on there. It's like a great gig, and she's good at it too.
Episodes. They got a lot of bubble episodes. Not everyone's on every week.
It's like Earth, Wind, and Fire. There's so many people on it.
Exactly.
Like, God.
So do you know if your sister's doing any more singing, if any more albums coming out?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know if she has another album. She just, she's going to the Special Olympics in Greece, singing there, but she's so busy with Desperate Housewives, and I'm not sure what her next album is, to tell you the truth.
You know what we need, Chris? We need Chris Williams and Vanessa Williams on the Matthew Aaron Show so we could find out about growing up together.
There you go.
I want to hear all the gossip there.
Here's a little tidbit of trivia for you. Did you know that New Jack City had a Vanessa Williams and a Christopher Williams on it, and it was neither one of us.
Neither of them were you guys. Well, isn't there
exactly.
a now is Vanessa L. Williams
yeah,
your sister?
That's
yeah, that's my sister.
Okay,
Vanessa,
so who
Vanessa
L.
Williams.
Yeah. Williams?
She was on Soul Food. She's actually a talented actress, very good actress.
Well, your sister was in Soul Food.
She was. My sister was in Soul Food, the movie.
Right,
Vanessa
the
was in Soul
Which,
Food, the TV
way,
show.
Well, that's what. So this is gonna sound so gay, but Soul Food made me cry. I'm gonna throw it out. I'm gonna throw it out there. When Irma P. Hall
dies, he's not
dies,
kidding.
No, when Irma P. Hall dies, I'm like sitting there. I don't know. Maybe I'm part black or something. I don't know
shot,
about.
Shot in Chicago, by the way.
Did you not
shot
get
shot in Chicago?
Played
yeah,
by
it
Irma
was
P. Hall.
Shot in Chicago, and
it
your
was shot in Chicago, and it was freezing.
But I swear to God, your sister should have gotten an Academy Award nomination for that movie. And I'm not fucking around at all. She was great.
She was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was
Vivica
really
was great too.
Yeah.
Vivica
yep.
was, and Irma P. Hall was great.
I love Irma P. Hall.
Yes, indeed.
That movie did not get the recognition it deserved. I know it made some money, and I know they had the Showtime series, but didn't get the recognition it deserved. Great movie.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, fellas, I have to jump. I'm going
yeah,
to
no.
the show right now.
Yeah, you got an engagement. Chris, it was a pleasure, man.
Yeah.
You're the best.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, I'll email
tell
you.
Tell me when you want me back on so we can talk about more stuff.
I'll email you this week. I'll email you this week. We can gossip.
All right, guys.
All right, I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank
Have
you.
Have a good one. Thanks a lot. Bye. Bye.
So, for whatever reason, I'm up on the show and not on Chris.
No, you know what? You were just, you know what? That was a good enough show. It's the peak. So, yeah. All right.
Okay. Now, we need Lenny to call back in.
Yeah. Now I want to hear from Lenny.
Yeah, if he could step outside. I bet it's raining out, though.
Yeah, but it was, like, drizzling all day.
Are we back on? Are we good, Adam?
You can at least find
Adam,
a quiet
are we back
room.
On? How great was Chris?
Yeah, he was great.
Dude.
And yeah, and so few entertainers like him. They just do tons of things well. And, yeah.
No, I don't think people realize that is he is a really funny.
Yes.
Funny dude. He didn't go Second City. You know, he didn't do that stuff. He didn't go do big stand-up concerts or whatever.
Yeah.
He is just a really talented actor who happens to be really good at being funny.
I meant
or
to
really
ask
funny.
Him, did he ever I stand up? I was interested.
Well,
in
he
knowing.
Said he was going to be doing stand-up with the magic. He was going to take that character out.
Oh, but that's more like a one-man
show. Well, he's doing his one-man show, but that's how I started. I did a one-man show my first gig.
Mm.
That was the first thing I did. I did an hour-long show. And it was one-man show.
So did I. I was the one man there.
No, I had a couple hundred. I was in good shape. Yeah.
I actually did a huge show in college where I studied stand-up, and I put together a show there. So I've done one as well. And it's a, you know. I'm interested to hear your Coolio story, by the way, which you said you had
well,
in the meantime.
I'm afraid now that Chris is friends with Coolio, though. Or is he not?
Oh.
I don't know if he'll... Okay, I'll tell the Coolio story.
Are we
going to
be blacklisted?
No. No. Now, remember, this is a bunch of Italians.
Oh, yeah, it was funny.
I'm not saying any of these guys are racist. Let's put that out there.
Okay.
Okay? But I went to a restaurant where we frequent quite a bit. And... oh, God. Okay, so we... special service at one of these Italian restaurants. We get special service at a few of them. I don't want to sound like a douchebag, but we do because we eat quite a bit. So anyways, this one Italian restaurant we go to is actually a restaurant of, okay, one of the owner's sons from another restaurant opened a restaurant. So we went to go, you know, get some good service, see him, promote his place, enjoy it. We show up there and they tell us, we've never been told no before. Oh, God, I never knew what douchebag this story sounds like. We've never been told no at a place like this before.
Yeah.
And they told us we had to wait 30 minutes, and we asked why. And that, let's say there were some words being tossed around like no talent, hack, what do you call a washed up?
Washed up.
Coolio has a table of like 50 that he brings in the restaurant. And by the way, he requests the bill for free. like free bill, which isn't as bad as the Jeremy Piven story, which I don't think I should tell.
No, I wouldn't break that one out.
Well, now people are like, what's the Jeremy Piven story?
You know what?
How is it worse than Coolio asking for free? Let's put it this way. It's worse than Coolio asking not to be charged. So anyways, we were very upset, and we've been anti-Coolio ever since. He took our table. We had to wait 30 minutes to eat. We left. We got pissed. We left.
Right.
We weren't going to wait for Coolio's crew. And then, oh, God. So this place plays Frank Sinatra music, Dean Martin, all that, right?
Yeah.
You walk in. What's the first thing you hear? Coolio music.
Uh-huh.
Like that. And not even like Gangster's Paradise. Like hot new track.
New
Coolio.
Gotta play the new track, sell the
2005
house.
Coolio.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know there was a 2005 Coolio until I went to the restaurant that day.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know,
well, whatever. I'm not trying to hate on Coolio, though.
Times are crazy when you have to go to the Italian restaurant to hear the new Coolio.
Yeah, right. If you want to go hear new Coolio, go to Rosebud's.
Go to
then.
Rosebud's, yeah.
Oh, that's the best part. Like, it's Rosebud's, man.
Oh, yeah.
This is like classy Italian. Like, not five stars, not Spiaggia,
but
like,
it's a,
dude.
It's the most, like, trusted Chicago.
Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah.
Every way goes
it's a
there.
Chicago staple place.
Oh, pissed me off.
Was it the one
so
on,
bad.
Was it in Chicago?
Oh, Lenny's calling in.
Okay.
Leonard.
Hope we can hear you, Lenny.
Is it still loud?
Okay, we can hear. No, it's not loud now.
You're all right.
Actually, that wasn't the bar. That was me yelling.
Oh, I was trying to get you on while Chris was on, and
I was coming on. I'm like, you ever make me wait for 6-7 minutes on hold again, I'll kill you.
I didn't know you were waiting.
Wait a minute.
Wait. Hold on, we got another call
that
too.
That was you yelling, and you sounded like multiple people talking in a bar.
I know.
Well, I have that talent. Are we on air yet? Are we live?
Yeah, we're going, man.
Who's all on?
Glenn, it's me and Lee this week. Katie Rose is sick. She'll be back next week.
Oh, she has such a sexy voice, too. Guess who I met yesterday outside of school?
Roddy Blagojevich.
Okay, besides the fact that you stalk my Facebook page and you know everything I freaking do in life, you know.
Well, you know, I'm a little upset when you didn't text me and tell me. I had stalked
you. You know, it was great. I was kind of stunned because I walk out, and we're all starting to have a cigarette, and I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, he looks familiar. I'm like, oh, my God, Governor! So I yell at him. He walks over, you know.
Really called.
So he starts. He shakes every. There's about eight of us. He shakes every person's hand.
Oh yeah.
Right.
You met the mayor of Munchkinland. That's what he looks like. Me.
You know what though? I kind of admire the guy because he's got balls.
Yeah, he's got balls. You know what? That you can't say he doesn't have balls. You're right. So he shakes everybody's hand.
Shakes everyone's hand. So he starts going in and stuff. And mind you, I'm holding my criminal law book. So he's like, oh, you guys law students. If I could do it again, I'd be a criminal attorney. And I'm like, yeah, go figure, criminal defense attorney, no shit. So he keeps going on. I'm like, so you're going to win this fucking time, or what's going to go on? He's like, well, we should have won the first time, my friend. I'm telling you that right now. He's like, hey, let me tell you something about my case right now. It's fucking golden. And he said, fucking golden, now bleeping, just like on the fucking tapes that they got him on. And I just thought right there, I'm like, I got no respect for this guy. I want to invite, you know, I'm starting to think to myself that if me, Rob Blagojevich, and a few of us all went out drinking one night, it'd be like The Hangover. You just wake up the next morning, imagine. You know, you should play that before I get on.
Oh, well, no, I like it when you're spacking it up, though.
When I'm spacking it up, you know.
When we're talking about...
But, no, it was good meeting him. You know, he's good people.
I would drink with Rod.
No, he's a cool dude, right? Okay. Yeah, I mean...
He's great company. Here's the thing.
I think young people care so little about politics. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of hate politicians, and that she's a blackball politician. They love
him. I think it's crazy.
Well, politics has become so taboo to discuss or get involved with it. It's kind of sad because it really does make the world go around.
It does make the world go around.
Fucking America. All right.
You know what? Okay, so Lenny, we got to talk about the weekend since we didn't go see a movie because there was nothing.
Yeah, we didn't go see a movie.
Nothing.
It was Easter. I had work to do.
There was nothing out. Len, I hear Fast Five isn't that bad, and we got to go see it.
Hold on. Let me shut the door to the bar because these fucking yokels.
You
fucking
mean the yokels
people.
May vote for you in 20 years?
Yeah, well, they didn't fucking hear me, and God willing, they never listen.
Oh. So Lenny and I go out Saturday. Okay, first let me set up the story by saying we have this friend, Mikey Turzo. He's like, what would you say, Mikey? Like 5'10", 6', 300+.
Lenny, yeah, he goes about 3 bills.
Yeah, he's 3 bills. So I tell Mikey.
Well, I shouldn't talk. I'm about the same, so.
We'll get to that. So I tell Mikey, we're in my house is in between where you're at in the city. Come to my house. And I will take you down to the city. So Mikey's like, yeah, sure, I'll be right over, Maddie. In any event, I'll just drive on by. So Mikey comes over. First, he's in like a Honda Pilot. It's a car now selling Clark. He looks like a 5-pound sausage in a 1-pound bag in this thing, okay? I'm like, well, we ain't taking that car. My car ain't much bigger, but we'll take that one. So he gets out of the car, and he's wearing this sweater vest. He did not bring a change of clothes, and it's from his work. And we're all spocking it up. We're all in Hawaiian shirts, or Lenny's in his suit, or, like, everyone's dressed to the nines, except, like, Jared Subaru sweater vest.
Oh, wow.
And it says Jared Subaru on it. Huh. So I'm busting his balls all night about wearing this Scooby-Doo sweater vest. So anyways, we go and we meet Lenny at Doughboy. And Chuck, too. Chuck was there as well. So we go out to Doughboys. And Doughboys is Snoop Rest.
Now, mind you, we have to say sorry because I know Caesar's listening. We have to apologize for ditching another party that night.
Look, we were going to go to Caesar's party. It was an hour away. Lenny and Chuck had to go to another birthday party. Bunch of ours, Kenny's on Taylor Street. So we should have been able to stay at Caesar's party for like a half hour. There was no point driving an hour, staying a half hour, and driving another hour. I would have had accident in my car, like, in a belief. But anyways, we meet at Doughboys, and first of all, I can't find parking. And Lenny and Chuck find perfect parking all over the street, which pissed me off.
That's because you didn't look.
I had to get valeted. Turzo and I drove around for 30 fucking minutes. I didn't look. I didn't look my ass. I drove in circles for 30 minutes. I'm driving up and down Taylor, up and down Racine, up and down Monroe.
Yeah, so he goes and valets his car. They say, oh, yeah, we pay for a lot. Yeah, the lot's public parking outside the next-door restaurant, idiot.
Oh, yeah. Not even public parking. He parks my car in the corner. Legal parking.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's great. So we go to Doughboys. Lenny's not getting any pie. Chuck's crying about his diet at this point in the night. I had a slice of pie. This is Scott Harris's new place. He owns.
Now, do a review of Doughboys. How'd you like it?
I love Doughboys. I think Doughboys has the best New York-style thin crust there is. I really do. I think
now, what I want to do is I want to send my props out to the restaurant next door, which is actually connected to Doughboys, which I ate out, Salatino's.
Right, and you had the pork chops there, and you said they were great.
Oh, my God, this pork chop was phenomenal.
Yeah.
They do it almost like a Vesuvio style. These fucking broads behind me keep fucking screaming, raising their voice.
A little quieter, Lenny. I don't know.
Should I say I'm on the phone with the mayor?
Yeah.
They don't fucking know. Fucking clueless suburbanite goddamn bastards.
I don't know.
This is unbelievable.
I want you to go to a quieter place for the sake of the show, but I don't want to hear you stop complaining about the people in the bar. It's just, what do I do?
You know what? I'd like to go to a fucking quieter place. The thing is, this bar's on the third floor.
By the
and
way,
I'm outside smoking. What the hell are they even talking about? Their boyfriends who don't love them enough? Not my fault. They wear a plaid shirt.
They're talking about their jobs and men. That's,
yeah, their jobs at night or the cubicles that they work on all freaking day.
Len, Caesar just texted me and he said, yeah, damn right, fuck you guys, blowing off my party.
Oh, Caesar, come on. We know, well, you know we love you, but you have to admit Lake County's a little unreasonable.
Yeah, why don't you just have the party in Kenosha at the Brett Stop?
Next time, why don't you just do it in the Dells, okay?
That's a fucking great place for a party.
Do it in the Dells, yeah.
You know what? Next time you're going to make a drive that far, just say North Pole. We'll go over to Russia on the other side next time.
Okay.
And I know he's listening to this.
We go to Doughboys, and we're outside smoking like 5 cigarettes. Go inside. I have a slice of pie. I think we're going to be in and out because we have this party to get to. Mike turns over the side. How many slices did you have at Doughboys?
Three.
He had three slices at
Doughboys. He ordered two, then went up for another one.
He had the meatball one last. He had the big stick.
The meatball. That's a heavy piece of pie.
Yeah, and he threw back three slices like it was going out of style. Like glasses of water. It was nothing.
Oh, I love it.
Three slices, just down. So then we go over to Vintage, which is on Taylor Street, and that was an all right time. We hit and ran that place. We were there for like 30 minutes, 45 minutes.
I've been there. I grew up on Taylor Street.
Yeah, what's that? Oh, well, Lee, but you're Greek. See, it's the United Nations. It ain't Little Italy.
Oh, it ain't Little Italy anymore.
This Greek motherfucker lived on Taylor.
Gennaro's is gone. Right?
I guess I probably get
They'd be open somewhere else with other people that original one.
Okay.
Gives a shit.
So, but then Len and I go to Richards. Tell everyone about Richards, Len.
Okay, now Richards is his joint on Grand Halston in Milwaukee, okay? If anyone's familiar with Funky Buddha Lounge, it's across the street from Funky Buddha Lounge.
Lenny, real quick, I do want to get out. They were bitching about my music the whole time.
Were we bitching about?
You guys were bitching about my music the whole time I was driving.
What was it?
Okay, now, first of all, we're in a bad mood because we wanted to go to Moe's Cantina.
Oh, yeah, Moe's Cantina.
The one down the road. So we are a little bitter. Then Matt is playing some god-awful music. I mean, nothing anyone would listen to.
The Funky Bunch.
Marky Mark?
The Funky Bunch. Good vibration.
It was god-awful.
There's worse music. Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Well, we turned on all the other stations. There was nothing good on.
It's regular.
No, it was bad.
You know what? But then again, Matt, you forget you were at the barbershop quartet in the fucking car. We could have belted out a song, too.
That's true. I do forget we sing.
You know, now we're going to know that for another weekend. So we go to Richards. Okay, Richards is next to La Scarola, across from Funky Buddha Lounge.
Yeah.
Now, this bar, one entrance is on Milwaukee. The other entrance is on Grand Avenue. Now, the entrance on Grand Avenue is actually the Italian flag. It's red, green, and white.
Right.
You walk in, it's all the Italian movies, Italian actors, Sinatra, singers, whatever. All pictures up on the wall. And when you walk in, they're also, I think, a liquor store because they sell liquor out of there, too.
They do.
But when you walk in, you smell something. It's smoke. And you can tell it's fresh.
Right.
They still permit smoking in this fine establishment.
Oh, yeah, baby. Fantastic. That makes me so happy.
Well, we walk in. So now it was ranked like one of the top dive bars in America. So every jagoff goes there because they found out about this spot. It's all oldies music playing. They don't play anything else. It's all oldies music.
Oh.
It's like mob hits on repeat. It's the greatest bar ever.
Fantastic.
So we can't get it. We can't get a drink. We're trying to get a drink. Finally, we get drinks. And we're like, I'm like, okay, I got to get out of here. This is horrible. And then we see a table at the front of the bar, which really isn't even in the bar area. It's literally like a little cubby next to the entrance to the bar. And there's just a table and four chairs. So I'm like, four of us, we sit down, have some cigarettes. Matt got pissed because we sent him for the ashtray. But we literally sat there, must have been 5 hours.
Oh, we did. People thought we like either owned the place or we were in the mob, I think.
I loved it.
Sat there for 5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking, smoking cigarettes. Just telling stories, have a good time. I brought Carmi and Johnny. Yeah. Johnny and Carmi came out. You know, and then we were just, you know, meeting up with random fucking people there. And it was just, you know, it was just a very relaxed environment.
Lenny, how hot was that Irish broad? From Ireland. She's from Ireland. And she brought
I know her name was Anne Marie or Anne or whatever the fuck their accent is. She's part of what's called the J-22 program or whatever it is. A bunch of these Irish guys come over from the other side for summers and they work in Chicago. So, I mean, there's always, whenever you run into a woman with, or a guy or girl with that deep Irish accent, you know they're from the other side and they're on that J-22 program over here. But some girl sits down with us, Patsy.
Yeah, Patsy. What was that great line she had?
Okay, here's to the women who smokes men smokes and drinks their drinks.
Women in high-heeled shoes who smoke men smokes and drink their booze.
Booze.
And then
they
don't have their cherries.
It's no sin. They don't have their cherries, and that's no sin because they still have the boxes that the cherries came in. Now, mind you, this is some late 30, early 40-year-old Irish girl from the north side. But she was just a fun time to sit there and BS with.
Oh, no, she was great. She was great. We couldn't get... I remember Carmen was trying to get the Irish broad back to his place, telling him...
Oh, frickin' Carmen, yeah, that was funny. But what's more important about everything is you have to realize when we live in such a big urban environment such as Chicago, right. You know, you can't hang around with the same 20 people. There's so many people out there to meet, and you never know where mutual interests may agree, where you can make a friend, and it's critical.
How many people do we bump into when we go out?
Yeah. The sad thing is, you know, in the metropolitan area, 8.5 million people, we run into the same 30, 40 all the time. But the thing is there's always someone willing to talk. I mean, Chicago is a very friendly city. I'm not talking when you go to these douchebag clubs like Enclave and every other joint.
Yeah.
You see, I like to go to the places where when you have a conversation, you actually hear the person. You don't have to scream. I mean, that's outstanding.
Absolutely.
You know, so, I mean, you're able to talk with these people, and you never know. Chicago, as big as Chicago and Chicagoland is, it's still a small town because, you know, it seems like you'd be surprised how many people just know each other.
Right,
like
right.
A kid in one of my classes came up to me. He's like, do you know Katie so-and-so? I'm like, absolutely. Went to college with her. Great girl. He's like, yeah, she works with me. And immediately that begs the question, where did my name come up in this conversation? You know, but the thing is you have to be outgoing and just get to meet as many people as you can. It's amazing what you go learn from other people. And just the interactions with people are something that you can't get on Facebook or anywhere else, you know?
No, that's exactly what it is. And then,
not to get too philosophical, because I know the crowd that listens to this show isn't exactly PhD material.
Hey.
Kind of like Cesar Marconi.
Hey.
Oh, I know I'm going to get a text on that one.
Come after me, but do not fuck with my audience.
Yeah, not Cesar Marconi. Come at. Okay, so it's better, though. So Chuck's on this diet, and he's in P90X. But Lenny and I finally got him to have a few drinks the other night.
Uh-huh.
And
what's he post on Facebook? 60 right, days sober down the drain.
It's 60 days sober, like he's an alcoholic or something.
Yeah, right.
Just say you get more Italian when Lenny's on.
Do I?
Yeah. I love
you know, that. I have that effect, though. I mean, in a couple minutes, you're going to be eating fucking Brejeuse subs and doing God knows what.
You should be fired up.
You should say, I'm bobbing my head and talking with my hands now.
Was I black?
Wait, hey. How do you make an Italian go mute?
Tie his hands together.
Tie his hands behind his back.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's funny.
That's funny.
So what happens is we get Chuck. Chuck finally has a few. And he kind of livens up a bit because we have these friends, Patrick and Chuck, who don't
They never drink when they come out. And the sad thing is we've been thinking they've been doing it just because they don't want to drink. No, because they had a little secret from us.
Yeah,
I didn't know when people told you. I don't know if I said this before on the show, but that, you know, like when people say, like, quit drinking, I lost all this weight. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I'm thinking to myself, these people drink all this beer.
Calories and hard liquor.
I didn't know there was calories in her. I know. How sad is that?
I didn't really know either.
Did you just think that, like, the alcohol ate the calories, like, vaporized them?
Well, we didn't think there were that many.
No, I figured there was calories, but I figured it was, like, 10. I figured, you know, the calories they were talking about is when you mix a Jack and Coke, the Coca-Cola.
You know, they don't print the calories on a bottle. I'm drinking a half pint of Jim Beam right now at the microphone, and I don't see a
no, calorie. There isn't. There isn't. They're hard to find.
A half a pint. What kind of man you are? Any man I know starts with at least a fifth.
What happened was...
You know what the sad thing is? We're going out drinking all the time. I don't even measure how many drinks I have anymore. How much of the bottle I've gone through.
New Year's Eve, you had to have 3,000 calories. The other night, you had to have close to 1,000.
And I mean, it's brutal. And when I go on the treadmill, I'm like, oh, I burned 300 calories. Wow.
Yeah, you burned two drinks.
Took me 6 hours to burn 300 calories.
And I'd still rather not drink light beer.
But what's funny was I went on a diet.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I went on a diet, so I looked up. I would type into my Lose It. I was on Lose It on the iPhone. And I would type in every drink, every meal, everything I had, because then the calories would calculate, and I would know how many I had left in the day. So I typed in to Lose It, like Jack Daniels, just Jack straight up, and 100 calories for like 2.5 ounces. And I'm like, fuck, for a shot, 100 calories?
So and so you know how they say ignorance is bliss? Then he decides to fucking tell me that and ruins my whole day.
I'm sorry to ruin your day by educating you with some of my calorie information.
I know, it was brutal. But what you call it? I don't mean to cut you guys short, but my friends are waving me. We got to get going now. I want to walk through the bar with the freaking phone on.
Is it over food?
No, no, it's not over food. I actually had food today.
So
I had mini chicken parm sliders.
Oh, yeah, delicious. So what's the plan for the weekend?
Well,
what do we got
all
going
day
on?
Tomorrow, I'm working, and then I'm studying late into the night, probably till about 2 a.m. Saturday, all day, I'm studying. We'll step out Saturday night for a cocktail. Sunday, all day, I'm studying. I'm in study mode for the next 2 weeks.
Friday, tomorrow, you at least have to leave to go to Tonini's or to go to Freddy's and have a meal.
Well, of course, that's part of studying. I'm learning about other cultures.
Okay, well, I'll meet you at Tonini's or Freddy's then.
Sounds like a plan. All right, guys, have a great night.
Buddy. All right.
Bye.
So Garon.
You're on the Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
What up, Al?
Hello?
Yo, Barack Obama, motherfucker. This black man doing his thing, president hitting that ass.
Barack Obama?
Yo, Matt Aaron, is it you?
Yes.
This is Ryan Trumbat.
Was
the
Ryan?
You recognize the voice?
What, brother, oh, now I do. Not when you're doing your Barack Obama impression?
That's, by the way,
no, I heard you had Crazy Ass Killer on there from Curb Your Enthusiasm, so I just wanted to throw out my best Leon impression right there.
Oh, well, Ryan, I was going to be like, stop the presses. Lee, go tweet that we have Barack Obama on the air.
Yeah,
quickly.
This is a big deal.
Is that right?
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. How you doing?
How's the Flea Cast going?
You know, it's going okay. I heard producer Adam was over there doing his thing.
Listening. Where can we find it? Explain what the Flea Cast is and where we can find it.
That's just a show with me and Drew Trilla, actually. Andy just left the show to do his own show, the Andy Dara Show. And we still have producer Adam twiddling the knobs for us, and he's doing a great job. I heard he's producing your show, too, so I thought I'd give a call in.
Yeah, he tries.
I was sitting here, because, I mean, I was just watching 30 Rock, and I'm seeing his, you know, occasional, they're almost tweets now, almost, when you do a Facebook post or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought I'd call in, but a great scene on 30 Rock, by the way. Tonight they parody Glengarry Glenn Ross.
Oh, yeah?
I
don't watch a lot of 30 Rock.
I haven't watched 30 Rock in 2 years.
Yeah, but I would watch it because that's like one of my favorite movies.
Not that I ever
Yeah, it's at the very end.
Either. I've never hated it. I just kind of, it wasn't good enough to like be in weekly like season pass for me. Like The Office.
Yeah.
I stopped watching The Office weekly this year. Michael Scott's last episode's on tonight, or it was.
It was tonight. It was very emotional. It was an hour long. And pretty good send-off.
Very emotional. You know what?
No, but the reason I called in, because when I first tuned in, I heard you talking with Chris about the Bulls and Lakers.
Oh,
and then I.
How was the Chris Williams interview? Do you like him? Good guy, right?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. And then I heard you talking about Lamar Odom, and I thought it was funny. I've only seen one episode of The Kardashians or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I caught the best moment ever, because it was when Khloe's sister, not Kim, but the other one, actually
Courtney.
Gave her a wax.
I am way too quick on that. Courtney, right, they're waxing each other's vajays and anal.
Yeah, Courtney gave her a wax. And fucks it up severely. And then she's all worried about Lamar, like, seeing it.
No, there's actually a story to that. For me, is I was watching that show with my former writing partner who went MIA and went nutso bozo. And we were outside in the gazebo watching it, and my dad walked out during that scene. And he walked in the gazebo, and he's staring at this anal bleaching going on and all this, like, they're screaming about how their vaginas are on fire. And my dad just looks at us, looks at the TV, looks at us, and walks away. It was extremely
weird. Probably thinking, I'm going to my bedroom to turn this on, right?
I don't think so. He was watching two fat dudes, like, staring at Khloe and Courtney waxing each other's vajays.
Yeah, Khloe the fattest one, but I know she got like some probably like red goosebumps or I don't know what it is, but I'm sure when Lamar was checking that out, he wasn't too pleased.
I got my back and chest waxed, and those things just pop up. It's shit.
Oh, feta cheese, that's what I taste.
It's almost like an ingrown hair, right?
Yeah, it was a mess. I was working, I had to put baby powder on it. Let's get off of this subject.
Yeah.
I've seen this in videos. I've seen this in my experience in videos.
Well, do me a favor, Ryan. We only got a couple minutes left, but why don't you plug the Fleetcast for me? I appreciate you calling in. You should call in next week, too. Call in every week.
All right, cool. Yeah, we can continue this discussion.
Where can we find
it? Check it out at thefleetcast.podbean.com or facebook.com/Fleetcast. Also, YouTube/Fleetvids.
Okay, and iTunes, too, right?
What's that?
iTunes as well.
Yeah, iTunes as well. But check us out and liking your show so far.
Thanks,
although
bro.
The first two episodes, man, these people got to turn their radios down when they're on the air.
Yeah, people like hearing themselves.
Other than that,
you know, with Chris Williams, it was not for once the echo was legitimate because he was in one of those high rises in L.A.
or a great restaurant.
No, I'm in L.A. all the time, as you guys know, and every building out there, especially on where he's at on Vine and Hollywood, they're all huge,
mm-hmm.
but ground floors are like 30 feet tall. No doubt that there was an echo there. But
quick question for you. That Lenny guy, did he used to hang out with James Bombaccino, or do you hang out with him?
No, I haven't heard of him. James Bombaccino.
Okay, is Lenny like a big, 6'2", like big guy? He kind of wears like one of those, it's like a driving cap, like an English driving cap almost, and, leather jacket.
Okay. We all wear those. Yes, we all wear leather jackets too, so you could be talking about many of us right now.
I know, but I recognize his voice, and I think me, him, and Bombaccino.
I would not
the name you say at the bar.
I would not be shocked if that is Lenny. No, I wouldn't be. He knows everybody.
Okay, yeah.
He knows more people.
I just wanted to check in and call on that. So.
Except he likes knowing more people. I don't like knowing people. So. All right, Ryan. Thanks for calling in, buddy. Call him next week. Good luck.
Get me on earlier. I was trying to call in during commercial breaks on 30 Rock, and it just so happened I caught you at the end, so it worked out.
Commercial.
30.
I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, before we get to the news story of the day, I know you got something, and we're going to get into a little debate about it. I do want to do the quick plugs. Hope Radio, which is another podcast. My friends Horatio Ramirez and Patrick Bagden, you need to check out Hope Bag Radio. This week they interviewed Jake the Snake Roberts, and it's a very entertaining when I say entertaining, though, it's not like – it's real funny the first part of the show. The interview with Jake is a really interesting look into Jake's life. It's not – it's respectful. But it's like you get a lot of information out of it. It was really good. You guys should check it out. I'm also performing with Horatio Ramirez and Patrick Bagden at Cigars and Stripes on May 7th.
Check that out.
Anything else that we have to plug? Okay. If we do, we'll do it after this. All right. Lee brought to my attention. Well, actually, I read this yesterday. I posted it on Facebook. I don't know if anyone saw it. I posted an interview done with Mel Gibson that was given to Deadline.com, and Lee had some commentary.
I read this interview, which is very lengthy, and it's fairly candid. Like, he's very candid in it about what's going on with him. And I have to say, it really sort of, made me feel okay for him. It really sort of humanized him and put a good face on it. And I think you were prepared to argue with me about it, because I'm not going to throw the guy under a bus.
I thought you were going to, everyone else. And here's my opinion, and I'll let you do your
Australians
editorial.
Are crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to let you do your editorial. I just want to get this out of the way. It's the only time I'm ever going to talk about this. I don't like talking about people's personal lives unless it is so bad, like OJ,
right.
Okay, or something like that, where you got to talk about it.
Right.
But here's the deal. Mel screwed up couple times. He's not a left-leaning liberal like everyone else in Hollywood.
No.
He doesn't have to be. I'm a left-leaning liberal, but I respect that he's not. He has his beliefs. He screwed up. You know, alcohol makes you say and do stupid things.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm sorry. Everyone says it's a truth serum. Yeah, but what happens is you don't filter your thoughts, and the truth is, if you know better, you're not being able to. Like, just because a bad word comes into your head doesn't mean that you're a racist or you're prejudiced, or you're a misogynist just because a certain word comes into your head. Because then you have a filter that says, no, that's not me, that's not what I'm about.
Right.
That filter goes away when you're drunk. So you're not getting the true Mel Gibson. You're getting an unfiltered Mel Gibson, which is basically a raving, drunken guy, like every other raving, drunken guy.
Right.
You know what? If this makes me look bad, makes me look bad. I can't tell you how many times I've been drunk and accidentally said sugar tits to someone.
Right.
Honestly, I mean, it sounds shitty, but it happens. It happens. You regret it. You move on. The guy is an outstanding actor. He's an outstanding director. It should not taint his career. He's a legend. He's a legend.
Yeah.
Like, here's the deal. I just don't like getting into his personal business.
Right.
It happened. Nothing. Look. There's two sides to every story, too, right?
I'm with you on that.
But go ahead, Lee. I've spoken my piece, and now I look like a big nut job.
That
but
was, first
ahead.
Of all, that was lovely. Secondly, he's got this new movie coming out, The Beaver, which his friend Jodie Foster directed him in. And this is really like a dream to be able to do sort of like a comeback movie that looks very earnest and ridiculous. He kind
right.
of he talks into this. Beaver hand puppet, it kind of becomes his, uses a original Australian voice.
It looks fantastic.
He's like a down on his luck guy, and it, yeah.
Do you think it looks good?
It looks very interesting, and I definitely want to see it.
It's one of the hottest scripts Hollywood has had in years.
Right.
It's been sitting on the top of every
and
desk for
years. The release date has been pushed back, and I thought this is a great chance for an actor to have a friend like Jodie Foster to help him through this. So, I started coming up with other puppet-related comeback movies for other down-on-their-luck or slightly washed-up or having trouble celebrities. So I'm going
to
pitch a few of these movies.
Pitch a few of them to
pitch
me.
Pitch a few of these movies
I am Leslie Moonves.
Okay.
You're at CBS All right. Films.
All right.
Pitch me some movie ideas. Lee, nice to have you in here.
Thank you.
Les
Following the success
like that,
of The Beaver, which I think will be a success.
All right, The Beaver All looks
right.
great.
Here we go. Charlie Sheen stars as an over-the-hill, drug-addled, narcissistic actor.
Love it. No, Charlie Sheen, he's out.
Who
he's
has
out.
The world on a string until he falls out of favor with his once adoring and stupid fan base, soon discovering that redemption is always the last place you look, once he befriends a donkey hand puppet. From Warner Independent Pictures, The Jackass.
So basically what you're telling me there is I shouldn't have played Les Moonves from CBS because that pitch wouldn't have made it past
okay.
Charlie
all right.
Sheen.
All right, we'll try this one.
So who should I be now? I should
right.
be
right.
someone else. I'm Brad Gray at Paramount. Brad Gray.
This one I think you're going to like.
We're both midget Jews.
All right,
so
here we go.
Go ahead.
All right, Brad Gray. You do fantastic work, by the way.
Thank you.
former Milli Vanilli.
Hi.
former Milli Vanilli frontman Fab Morvan, in his acting debut, plays a disgraced 80s dance pop star struggling to get back into the limelight after a career-ruining lip-syncing scandal leads to the death of his partner and bandmate Rob Pilatus in a self-induced destructive drug binge. He's about to meet his second chance, though, in the form of a sock puppet he uses to replace Pilatus in his act. The puppet is made in the style of a small rodent with a tendency to voluntarily drown itself. Focus Features presents The Lemming.
I love it.
There you go.
A little thumb bread pick.
You know, Focus, they always do good work. They're a good studio. All right, I got one more for you.
All right, who am I this time, though? I got to be someone new.
Harvey Weinstein.
Oh. All right. All right, here we go.
All right. Britney Spears plays a...
I want to edit it already.
Britney Spears plays a washed-up pop sensation who's coasted for years on very little talent and the best marketing team money can buy, suddenly racked by a reclusive dementia, only to find salvation in teaching sex ed classes to school children with a quirky little hand puppet shaped like her shop-worn labia. From Fox Searchlight Pictures comes The Beaver.
Let me tell you something about that fucking cunt Britney Spears. Harvey, you can't talk like that on the radio.
Harvey, Jesus come on.
Christ.
Oh, Harvey.
Get the man a sandwich. Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Get him out. By the way, to Leslie Moonves, Brad Gray, and Harvey Weinstein, if you ever hear this, I love you.
Yeah. So those are my puppet related movie pitches.
Those were some good ones. Yeah. I like The Beaver. You know, it'll be kind of like a spin off of what's going on.
Right.
Look, it's getting great reviews. It played really well at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Critics are saying Mel Gibson could get nominated for an Oscar.
Oh.
And I'm not. This is no hyperbole or anything. I'm telling that's what I've read.
Yeah, well, I got to say that, that interview
by the
was
way,
really...
my Brad Gray was not insulting.
It was not bad.
No.
No.
No, he would appreciate midget you just like I did the one night I got called one. And that's the same night Lenny got called Irish, and we got into a big fist fight outside a bar with a bunch of guys. They called Lenny Irish, they called me a midget Jew, and Chuck and Pat backed up 5 feet so they wouldn't be involved in the fight. Good friends, classy guys. Mm. But you know what's even better? Is they're so classy, I know they're not fucking listening ever to this.
Yeah.
So I know they'll never hear this and hear me talking mad shit about them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the nature of
things. Thanks a lot, classy people.
Yeah.
So before we go, let's sum up what we got. We had Chris Williams in today.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Williams was fantastic. If you missed it, give it a listen back on the iTunes tomorrow or later on tonight. Maybe it'll be up. I don't know how the iTunes works, really. You can find us on Twitter at Matt Aaron Show, if you're a Bieber fan or not a Bieber fan. We covered Norman Golden II.
We did.
We had a long talk with Lenny about Chicago and those fucking suburban nights,
those
jag-offs.
Suburban night jag-off Yankee bastards.
And Lee pitched me 3 puppet movies.
Yeah.
After this one's a big hit, the Beaver movie's a big hit, he pitched me 3 puppet movies that are also going to follow this puppet movie. We covered Hobag, which had Jake Roberts on.
Yep.
Cigars and Stripes, May 7th, me, Horatio, and Patrick Bagden. And Fleecast, we had Ryan on from the Fleecast, check it out. And Katie Rose, once again, was sick. We love her, we miss her.
She will be back,
and
for your eyes only.
We miss her giggle. That's what I miss.
I
miss the giggle.
I do too.
I miss the hair twirling, the little hair twirl thing.
Yeah.
Like she'll sit in the chair and she'll twirl her hair. It's kind of cute.
And you're like, are you paying attention? And then she'll say something endearing.
Remember when she was reading the format last week before the show and she's like, Katie Rose talks about the war. What? I don't want to talk about that. I know nothing about it. I'm like, well, that was the bit. That was like the joke. I was going to be like, Katie Rose with the news on the war in Iraq. And she would be like, what war in Iraq? And I'd be like, doo-doo-doo. Thank you, Katie Rose.
Oh, that was a good idea.
Well, no, she tanked it by killing the joke
before
we did it.
Yeah. We probably weren't on at that point.
I'm that kind of guy, though. Oh, no, we wouldn't have been on.
Yeah.
The first 19 minutes, you can always tune in late to our show and catch the beginning.
Yeah.
Is really what can happen.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I wrote down instructions this week. Next week, we are going to be, you know, it's that fucking loop, though.
Yeah.
It's that fucking loop.
It's ridiculous.
We don't do that.
No.
That's the blog talk.
It's blog talk. Well, I mean, it's their software, right?
I guess.
I'm saying that like I know these things.
Yeah. And Chris Williams is out in L.A. Mm-hmm. I'm missing L.A. I need to get back out there. It's rolling down. I love rain. Well, Lee, do you got anything to say? We're at the 60-second mark before I get out of here and have a smoke.
No, I'm okay.
Hey, we didn't get to know about that Vanessa Williams, Chris Williams dual interview.
That would be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be something else?
Yeah.
God, she's hot, too.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what she has to say about
Chris, I apologize. I find your sister attractive. I apologize.
So did America.
it'd be great to have them both on, though. And Chris is great. I can't wait to have him on again.
He's great,
it's just so much fun, man. Okay, well, we are going to head out for tonight. We will see you next Thursday, where my guest will be Bruce Fretz of TV Guide, Mr. Cheers and Jeers himself, and also of the blog Too Cranky, which is a movie blog site. So thank you very much, and have a good night. Bruce Fretz next week.
Good night.